Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Brothers, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In our time, the sins against the sixth commandment appear spicier, but they really are much more pathetic and boring than ever, because they're on your phone before or maybe after work. They're in your car. They're on the radio. They're out in broad daylight. And as the perversions are normalized, they become boring. I think the last boundaries have to be falling, right? I had always assumed that cheating was the last hurdle, because surely everyone knows or can at least imagine how terrible it feels to be betrayed, to be betrayed by somebody that you loved. And you wouldn't want that. But now, even shame and betrayal and anger are being brought into what passes for intimacy today. And this, too, is contrary to what God would have for us. Realize that people are borrowing feeling and emotion now from other sources to bring into the act of a husband and a wife, because the act itself has now become so uninteresting to them. And the younger generations apparently aren't even bothering with it in many cases. For them, Paul's admonition is very different. Do you not know? No, they might not know that their bodies are to be temples of the Holy Spirit either. But they know that doing that might not be worth risk, danger, or hurt. And so they've adopted the position that some of the Corinthians had, whom Paul addresses in the next chapter right after our scripture today. Now, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have any relations with a woman, ever. Paul's response is to qualify, which was his own wish, that all would be celibate as he was, but because of temptations, he says, not as a command, but according to God's calling, each should have his own wife and not resort to sad, sterile, perhaps digital, but seemingly safe alternatives. But how lame is that? Compare that to the ancient world where sex was divine. It was not only itself a sort of worship experience, but it was part and parcel of their worship. Pagan gods and goddesses were attended by priests serving their clients with the greatest human wonder imaginable. That's what it meant when Paul drops the kind of strange rhetorical question today, shall I unite the members of Christ with a prostitute? He means a temple prostitute. He means intercommunion with false gods through their temple denizens. You see, pagans have long understood the power of sex, even if not its purpose. They believe what the Lord actually commanded in Genesis, that the two become one flesh in this, that bodies are joined to become one body in this. Truly, then, there is no higher form of communion among people. And therefore, for idolaters who are constantly exchanging the creations of God for the Creator himself in their worship, obviously, this would be the ideal means for union with the divine spiritual realm and gaining all of its power. Spicy may not be the word for it, but there was more power, there was more honesty, there was more truth even in that ancient view of sex. More blood in the veins than the cold and casual practices that we have now. Our age is worn out with it. It is burned over. It is spent on sex, and it leaves people hollow. Because there is meaning in sex that can't be removed and can't be lived down. Your body can't be outsourced without outsourcing your soul along with it. And what would it profit a man if he gained even the whole world but forfeited his soul? Who can give something in exchange for your soul to get it back? It's the myth that our souls are just occupying these bodies, which leads to so many different errors. Whether, on the one hand, you can burn through it, since none of this stuff matters anyway, or you can obsess over it to the preservation of it, hanging on to it, it's all we have, or you can wish to, by some kind of spirituality or discipline or asceticism, escape this body and its needs altogether. But do you not know, Paul writes, a Christian should know more than this. If you are a Christian and you have forgotten this, then you have become like the Corinthians that Paul is ministering to here. He had come to them already and taught them many things. Now they needed to be reminded and prompted in this way. If you have not forgotten, dear Christians, then you know of a way of body and life that our world needs to know about too. You know of a greater reason than just abstract risks or fear of the unknown for a person to possess his or her vessel and conduct themselves in a way that is chaste and holy. You also know of a way of rescue for those who are hollowed out by underestimating the power of sex to their own destruction. As Paul says so importantly here, that this sin is worse in this way, that it is a sin against our own bodies, that it destroys ourselves, not just in an abstract way, not just by what it does to somebody else, but I am tearing myself apart in this. And the way out of this, the better way, is communion with God, actually. Now, the Lord once walked in the cool of the day with his people, with Adam, for whom then he handcrafted Eve as a mate and gave the great promise that the two shall become one flesh, with all of its attendant blessings, the blessings of paradise itself. This great communion of husband and wife is blessed, and for them it is chaste that their bodies would be joined, that they would not rob one another of their bodies, because their bodies each belong to the other, respectively, because the two have become one. Paul says this very directly, if not explicitly, just after today's scripture. And marriage is a picture, then, of the love that Christ has for his bride, the church, especially in how one sacrifices for the other, how fidelity is kept, how cheating is out of the question, and how they love one another, not only use one another. But even this good way of honoring God with our bodies, this kind of keeping of the marriage bed, this is not itself communion with God. Paul writes just before our passage today that the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? We have communion with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies and our souls are meant for him. They are meant to serve him chastely, whether that is in singleness or in marriage. But this is because, see what Paul writes? Because the Lord is meant for the body. What could that possibly mean? It means that our Lord has taken up our flesh. It means that he has entered into our human body. He is even now at the right hand of God, a man with a rational soul and human flesh. He is pro-body. He has entered into the body. And in this flesh, what has he done? He has bought us with a price, as Paul writes. He has honored God with his body, even unto death on the cross. That is his love for his bride. In this flesh, he was raised, Paul writes. He has now ascended on high. And he is declaring his saving promises in the forgiveness of sins. He is proclaiming, as he does as soon as he comes out of the grave, the peace that now exists between God and man. Yes, even the joining of God and man once again in friendliness, in love. And Christ gives this faith, and he gives his Holy Spirit through such promises so that we are truly joined, not by some powerful experience, but by his divine word, which is always the thing that can make it so, which is in fact the thing that by the forgiveness of sins can make one who was called unclean clean again, one who was hollow to be alive and full again. And therefore our bodies are not drawn to temples of idols so that we can seek out a communion with false gods through acts of the flesh, nor certainly to hollow ourselves out by mere acts with men and people. But God has given himself to us to make our bodies temples of his Holy Spirit, and even to give his holy body as food for body and soul, food that will not be destroyed, as this world's food and this world's flesh will be destroyed. What the Lord gives endures forever. He has shown in Christ Jesus how faithful he is to the end. And this is beautiful for salvation, and it is also beautiful as a picture of that salvation in this life. So, dear Christians, do not be ashamed of what you know. Share it with others and tell them about the Lord who loves them, and about how true love imitates him also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.